Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, my name's Mark, if we haven't met. It's been a while, actually. It's been a while since I've been up here. I was thinking back. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. You don't have to skulk off. You guys have done well. I could keep them up all sermon. You know, it's one of those things where I think it was Father's Day where I hosted a panel, but it was June last year when I actually last stood up and brought a message. And a lot of things have changed since then, right? A lot of things. Actually, before I go into that, you might notice that Pastor Mel and our boys aren't here today, and they're actually over in Brisbane at the moment. So Pastor Mel and I run this campus, if you are new or you don't know who I am. They've been able to go over and see Mel's brother, also help Mel's parents shift and just have a bit of a break and a time with family. And one thing I will say is I noticed that the dishes at home are actually quite a lot less than what they normally are. I think I'm struggling to actually get the first load of dishes on the dishwasher, so I kind of know by their absence who's responsible for all the dishes. I think they have a special talent for using every single knife, fork, plate, bowl in the house just to, I don't know, have a bowl of cereal. I'm not sure how that happens. But anyway, they're having a great time over there. So as I said, you know, it's been a while. Lots of things have changed. I would have shared that I was in a period of transition. I'd worked in the oil and gas industry. I have an applied science background for 27 years. And I found that God was doing something and transitioning me out of that into something different. I kind of knew roughly what it was, but I think back in June, I didn't know exactly what that was. And then I think it was July. So just when I was about to think, hey, I need to actually start looking for work, because I was on long service and annual leave, I actually had a conversation with Pastor Ken Lee and Boy, who's our business manager. And they said, hey, we've got this role opening up at Nations, and we think that you would be a really good fit. Are you interested? And I'm just like, yes. Let's talk. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. This whole thing, this is 3 years building up. And then it just came down to the God's timing, God's conversation at the right time. I wasn't stressed about it. I was at peace. And that conversation happened. So fast forward, end of August, I've now started with Nations Church full time. I'm working as our global operations and project manager. So that's involved with across all different campuses. I know you don't know what that means, but that's fine. You can applaud anyway. I don't know what it means. It's just the guy that gets things done. and it's been amazing. You know, I don't fully know what's to come and what the full breadth of this role might be, but I have trust and faith in God that he knows what he's doing, right? I can see God at move. He's just moving all the pieces around. He's just bringing the things, I think, preparing for what's coming next. And I really get that sense. And it's not only Nations as a global church, it's actually what's happening here as well. Really had the sense in the last year and a half, that God's actually positioning people and groups and things so that he can get us ready for what's happening next. Because it's going to come, and it's going to come in a hurry. So that is really awesome. Hey, who's enjoyed the messages so far in January? I know that January is usually a time where people go away and have holidays. Hopefully you've all been dutifully catching up on all the messages while you've been away, of course. But hey, the one that got me thinking the most in preparation for this message was actually from Pastor Ken Lee on the 8th of January. We actually had it live streamed here, and it was called He's Making Me. Who can remember that message? You'll remember, if you don't remember the title, you remember that it talks about the potter's wheel, where God is the potter and then he's shaping us. And there's so much to it, I won't go into it. But there is one phrase that really sticks with me or stuck with me on this. It says, well, Pastor Ken said, he is more interested who we are becoming than what we are achieving. Who we are becoming than what we are achieving. And it made me think that so often we're focused on situational things, on what's happening on the outside, what are our goals, what's happening this year, what things do I need to do. It's like the outward stuff. But what the potter is trying to do is he's trying to shape us, and he's interested what's happening down deep as well, is what's happening in us. Now, I shared this scripture last week during prayer, And I just want to read it again. It's from Romans 5, 3-5 from the Amplified. And it says, "And not only this, but with joy let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardships, distress, pressure, trouble, produces patient endurance. And endurance, proven character, spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now, I just want to think, if you flip this around and put it in the world's context, this is how this scripture would read. It's pretty much the complete opposite. It says, do what makes you feel good. Get the most you can for as little effort as possible, as quickly as possible, with the least inconvenience to you. It teaches you to cut and run when things get too hard. It's what you have and how you look that matters, and it offers very little hope. So to many in the world, it's going to sound crazy that we as Christians can be glad or even rejoice in the fact that we go through hard times, that we're called to deal with difficult situations, difficult people, and even seemingly unfair circumstances. But to those who have a relationship with Jesus, it isn't crazy. It shows that we have a God that sees us, and he cares for us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Who in the world's going to do that? And he wants to shape us. He wants to mold us into people who have strong characters and are filled and led by his Spirit. As Christians, we're going to come up against some tough and challenging situations, and the enemy will try and stop you from walking out your purpose. And it's because of this that God uses trials and tribulations to build persistence, endurance, and in turn, strength of character. So this morning, I really want to focus on the latter part of that. So the title of my message is simply this: Character Matters. Character matters. You've likely heard the word character in normal conversation, right? Usually it's that person has a strong character, that person has a weak character, that person is such a character, bit of a galah. It's like, it's actually something that you probably hear more than you realize, and you think about more than you maybe are consciously aware of. I know parents, and I've been guilty of this, and I kind of probably still am. When you meet your kids' friends for the first time, when you get to know them, what are you looking for? You're looking at their character, right? You're looking at, it's not so much what they say, because kids can say what they want you to hear. I've known some of my kids' friends that are very, very good at that. But it's actually who they are and what they're like when no one's watching, when they're alone, when things get tough. That's the character that you look for. So it goes beyond the words, and it goes to the core of who they are, who we are. There are a few different definitions of character. It's actually funny, when you look at a definition of character, it's really hard to nail down a precise definition of what character is. But there's things like the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. But the one that I found the best in terms of context of this scripture from Romans 5 is actually from a pastor called Andy Stanley. And he wrote a book called Louder Than Words. And he says in this, he said, "Character is the will to do what is right as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. Your character is the internal script that will determine your response to failure, success, mistreatment, and pain. It reaches into every single facet of your life. It is more far-reaching than your talent, your education, your background, or your network of friends. Those things can open doors for you, but your character will determine what happens once you pass through those doors." You know, it's so easy to say something and or not to say something under a normal circumstance, make it look like we have together. We present this image of what we think people want to do. We do it even as Christians. We do it as pastors. You come up the front, you talk how we think we're meant to talk. We adopt these things, and that's great, but it's actually when we're truly put under pressure that what's on the inside comes out. When you're squeezed, so to speak, you get to see what's really in there. What's not what you're wanting to present, but what actually is deep down. And it's what that under pressure person's character looks like that God's most interested in. Because if he's truly going to use you and grow you and shape you to live out the mandate of this church, he needs to be sure that when you are put under pressure, what comes out is good. As I mentioned before, I was in the oil and gas industry for 27 years. And I want to share you a bit of an example. Hopefully some of you can relate, maybe some more than others, but I guess the principles hopefully are transferable. It was back in, I was trying to test my memory here, I'm getting old, probably late 2005, early 2006. Some of the context was I was an account manager, I was looking after probably our single biggest customer. Things were going really well, actually. Our marriage was good. I'd been a Christian or come back to God probably for about 2 or 3 years. I'd just been baptized with water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd gone through the whole tithing and giving principles and actually started outworking that, and I started seeing the fruit of that. So life was actually really, really good, or so I thought. You see, this company that I was the account manager of had this great big new project. It was probably about a $1.5 billion project at the time. For offshore, and they're going along in the front-end engineering side of it and the construction and commissioning, and we were responsible for all the production chemicals and all the tanks of getting the chemicals out there. So because of the nature of the facility, we had to introduce this new type of tank that hadn't been used in the industry before. It was like a big 4,000-litre offshore-rated tank. You know, it's big, it's got lots of impact protection, and to build, they're probably about $60,000, $70,000 per tank, right? And we needed about 30 of these things. So we'd done a proposal to the company, I'm not going to name them, almost did, to the company around the chemicals and the tanks. We gave them all the information, the lead times, all that, we had them. And we thought things were tracking really well. The only thing there is that we didn't have, or they didn't really interact with us on a regular basis. It was probably every maybe quarter, every 6 months, almost like don't call us, we'll call you type thing. So they had this proposal, and then we were meeting together with them for 6 months, a 6 month review. We thought we knew when they needed everything. So we're putting out our timelines of when things are happening. And I remember the look on one of the guys' face. It's like, what do you mean it takes 6 months to get the tanks out here? We're like, well, that's it, but you're not starting up till this date, so that's fine. Oh, no, actually, we need these 3 months earlier. Weren't you guys aware? And we're like, not really. And it's just like the conversation and the discussion has just spiraled. Basically, this was on their critical pathway. And by not having these tanks in time, we could actually jeopardize the outcome of the project, and any delay is millions and millions of dollars, far more than the value of the tanks. So the pressure started mounting. The spotlight started coming in, and I was right at the center of it. I think to this day, I've probably never felt so under the pump and under direct pressure than that. I was still probably a young engineer and account manager. We didn't have a big team, so there wasn't the cavalry that I'm going to call to come in. It was me. And this went to the overall project manager, and he's called us into his office, and it's like the finger starts pointing, the arrows start flying, the blame, and it's like, wow, what am I going to do? And all these emotions, all these things start coming through. What do I do? Suddenly, okay, I could fight back. I could start pointing my finger back at them. Hey, we told you, we did this. It wouldn't have made a difference. When you deal with these companies, they don't want to hear that. I could have tried to cast blame somewhere else. I could have tried to, I even could have lied actually to try and soften or do the situation. And I remember going to my pastor at the time, and I'm like, I'm stuck. I really am. Like, I felt like my career, everything was gone, to tell you the truth. You know, in those moments, you can kind of dramatize things in your head. And I remember him saying, what do I do? And of course, the first thing that a pastor's going to say is, pray. So I'm like, yep, I'm going to do that. I'm doing that. what else? And he gave me this scripture, and it was pretty good at the time. And I know the context of the scripture, but in this is what I took. It was from Isaiah 41. He says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you." Now, I just want to clarify this. I wasn't praying the second part of verse 11 in this situation. I did not want them to die and come to nothing. It hadn't quite got to that point. Yeah, that was up the slide. No, that wasn't that. But it was the general intent of that passage. It was like a promise to me in this. And it was a promise that the way that I took it is a promise to stay true to who God is transforming me into. Then he will uphold me and make a way. You see, until that point, I tended to be someone who would try to defer things, kick them down the road, so to speak. I had a choice. I could try and scramble, counterattack, deflect, even walk away, kick it down the road. But I knew that that is not who I was being transformed into. Remember, being filled with the Holy Spirit? So I sucked it up. I listened to what was being said, politely remained to the facts, and then started to look into ways to rectify the situation. And initially, I really thought there was none. I remember the research, the calls, the discussions, praying before each one, asking God to find a way. And there are quite a few times where I thought that we'd found a solution, only to have it come to nothing. This is that persistence, that endurance. Then there was this glimmer of hope. The tanks manufactured, they're manufactured in Ireland, by the way, which is why that's such a long lead time, proposed that there may be a chance to jump the queue for the manufacturing of tanks from another operator in the North Sea. But it would cost money. They want to be incentivized to basically go down the list. So they did their bit, we approached our customer, and amazingly, both agreed. So the operator in the North Sea said, yep, we can live with the delay, we'll let you guys jump into our slot, which was basically the next one up. And our customer agreed to pay the fee. I was amazed, like they would. I was expecting that they were going to try and push it back onto us, but they actually stepped up and paid that fee. But the thing that they asked for in return was the assurance that they were on track with what was happening. So they wanted regular updates, weekly meetings on progress. Are we on track? Are we doing what we need to do? So as we started to work this plan, I saw God working in so many ways, in so many areas, that what seemed impossible now became more and more possible. It would just take one thing, though, to knock it out of whack, but I just saw God move time and time again, and we met the goal. We delivered the tanks on time. Not only that, but due to the weekly updates and the much higher level of interaction, we went from being a supplier on the outer to one that they now understood and trusted. And our relationship with them was so much stronger than it had been before this. You see, in the hardship and trials, who I was on the inside was being tested. It was being tried. There's nowhere to hide. Was my relationship with God a superficial one? Or was it something that I could push further into, deeper into, and draw strength from that? You see, looking back, I learned a very valuable lesson around just how much godly character and integrity matters. And that even in the tough and seemingly impossible times, by being authentic, truthful, dependable, and trustworthy, others could see and experience that. It gave them some assurance. So most people will understand that when things go wrong, that things will go wrong, sorry. But the true test of character comes in how we deal with a situation. Do we fall to pieces? Do we duck, dodge, play dodgeball, duck, dodge, weave? Or do we step up and take some ownership and responsibility? What I didn't realize, but I now do looking back, is that God was growing and strengthening something in me that has set me in good stead for the rest of my life. Now, I understand that not all of you can maybe relate to this particular example. You know, maybe your trials or your hardships look a little bit different. It could be a certain difficult person or people, person or people, group of people in your life. It could be a failed or maybe even a failing current a relationship. It could be a health diagnosis. It could be a bad family situation. And it could even be something that we think is the enemy at work, but it's actually God trying to shape us, to prune us. Ouch. I think it's actually that last one that we often miss, right? Everything's the enemy. Every trial, everything that I come under is the plan of the enemy. But you know what? God knows the condition of our hearts. He sees beyond the words. He sees beyond the performance. If we're truly honest with ourselves, how often is Proverbs 16 verse 2 true? It says, all the ways of a man are clean and innocent. I'll include women in there as well. It's not just men. But for the sake of this, we'll say man. Are clean and innocent in ways, innocent in his own eyes. And he may see nothing wrong with his actions. Who's ever been there? I'm completely blameless in this. But the Lord weighs and examines the motives and intents of the heart and knows the truth. You see, the heart is so critical in this. Who truly has your heart? It's why in Romans 5 and the last verse there that I shared, it aligns so well here. It says, God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Are we following our flesh or are we being led by his Spirit? Often, it's often the case where that whatever God is trying to prune or shape us in us, the enemy is also trying to feed and grow. It's the complete opposite. It's flesh versus the Spirit. And a great litmus test in most situations is to go to Galatians 5. I know that we all know what that says and we try our best to avoid it. But it talks about the fruits of the flesh and fruits of the Spirit. And it's not there for me to cast judgment. It's not there for us to judge each other. It's actually there for us to examine ourselves. In this situation, whatever that is, whatever you're going through, have gone through, is go to Galatians 5 and what's your reaction been? What are the fruits that are evident in that circumstance? Are they fruits of the flesh or are they fruits of the Spirit? Chances are if it's the flesh, then you're going to miss what God's trying to do. Having been around secular workplaces and now church for quite a while, unfortunately, you see the same cycle. People who have a genuine gifting in their life, but they struggle with the flesh. Things like pride, jealousy, disputes, self-entitlement, inability to submit to authority, sexual immorality, the list goes on. And it's amazing how God brings about people and circumstance to try and shape and mold us, prune away the things that need to go and develop a good, godly character. You know when I was younger, I had a real issue with vanity. And God was like, hair, it's got to go. You know, true story. You can see the fruit this morning. There is no hair there. Luckily, he gave me enough grace to meet and fall in love with Mel. Before that happened, I don't know what characteristics he was trying to grow in her. Maybe to see the character rather than the long flowing blonde locks. But it's true, right? Often, God wants to prune away things when we're reacting in the flesh. So often there is the misconception that it's always the plan of the enemy of why this is happening. And while it's somewhat true, it's also God using these situations and people around you to try and shape you. So often what happens, we go somewhere else, we run away, we tap out, we cast blame somewhere else or we pull down others instead of pushing further and deeper into God and asking the Holy Spirit, what is he trying to do in me in this circumstance? What is it in me that needs to change? You see, the world is full of unfairness. It's full of people that don't know Jesus and there will always be things said and done that can hurt us. Quite often we can't control circumstances or other people as much as we'd like to. You know what? He could even be shaping them with you as well. But what we can control is who we are despite this. We can't control the circumstance, but we can control how we react. We can control where we go with it. It's only by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, that's that thing again, our hearts, through whatever it is that you are facing, that He will bring out and grow the fruit that He is trying to seed and develop in us, the character that He is trying to develop. You know, in Galatians 5:22 and verse 23, it says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, it could be that when you feel like if you've been unfairly overlooked in a job or a promotion at work, your first reaction is to want to get offended, get upset, get angry. Why? You compare, you have all that thing. But maybe He's calling you to have faith that it wasn't the right role for you. And you manage to keep your joy and your peace while developing patience, that God knows what He's doing. That He's got something better, bigger, what you need just around that corner. You might be having a hard time with a family member, sibling, parent, child. And it could be easy to fly off the handle, come in all guns blazing. But the Holy Spirit is saying, how's that worked out before? How about we exercise some self-control and gentleness and try and work through this in a different way, even if they don't deserve it? You see, we have a choice. We have a choice to go to our flesh, or we have a choice to push into His Spirit. Yeah, and this isn't a message to bring about shame. It's not a message to bring about condemnation if you found yourself in these situations and you've reacted first out of the flesh. But it is a message that there is often so much more to our trials and our hardships than we think. We have a God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us so we can be saved. So He does whatever He can to shape us, to grow us, so that we can walk out those plans and the purposes that He has in store for us. So this morning, as I'm speaking, I can almost sense it. Maybe you're going through and reflecting on some circumstances where you could have done things better. You could have done things a little bit differently. Maybe you're going through them right now. I don't know. You know, He knows. But I want to give you some hope. Romans 5:28, and it says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose. The thing I love about that is it says all things, right? All things, not just some things, not just certain things. It says all things. So if you've missed it, or if you've made a choice that you think maybe didn't align with God, He's going to take that and He's going to use it. He's going to take every single situation, good, bad, and everything in between, and make something good come out of it. There is no thing that He can't turn around and use to grow and strengthen our character. You see, at the beginning of the service, I spoke about a pretty significant career change after 27 years. And actually, some of you would know this, but the catalyst for this was actually the passing away of my mum in February 2020. So without going into too much detail, I know that He didn't cause my mum to die. We live in a fallen world with sin, with sickness. And even though it was a particularly difficult time for me, He knew the best way to bring about a change of this magnitude was to bring some revelation and learning out of a situation that I couldn't get from anywhere else. It was deeply personal. It was raw. It was real. And it was the only way that this was going to get through. You know, I can honestly say that the more that you trust Him and continue to follow Him, even through the hardships and the trials, you'll come out the other side stronger of character for it. And that next challenge, it won't seem so bad. That next person that you come across that everyone says is difficult, they're a pussycat. It's true. We laugh, but it's so true. It's so, I could, I could go on for ages about the amount of times where I've seen God bring on the challenge, and it's hard to go through that the first time, but then you come across it again and again. The enemy tries the same, he goes to the same trick book again and again. But God builds your character and your resilience and your ability to actually push through these things. You know, he'll bring that victory in every circumstance. The thing is, it may not be how we expect it. It might not even be what we ask for, but it'll be what we need. He's teaching you to trust in him and go where his Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. See, one of my favorite scriptures, and there are admittedly a few of those things, was from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean, again, this is the heart thing, all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You see, in times of trouble and hardships, we often resort to what we know, what we see, how we feel. We draw on our own experience and knowledge, which I hate to tell you, is always going to be skewed, flawed, and often limited. He's given us his Holy Spirit who can lead us and guide us in all things. The creator of this world who created you, created me. He has plans and purposes for our life, and he wants to lead you in those things. He wants to guide you in those things. Sometimes we picked up some bad habits, picked up a bit of baggage, and he wants to bring about a situation where we can actually leave those things behind. He wants to bring us more freedom, but like all things, we have a choice. We always do. Do we seek him, or do we do it ourselves? Do we cut and run? So this morning, you may be sitting here, and contrary to what the world thinks, what I've said actually makes some sense. But you don't have that relationship with God. You've heard about Jesus, but you've never made that conscious decision to follow him. So this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. Will you let him lead you? Will you let him guide you? You know, we have a God that sent his own son to die for us so that he can give us that new life, so that he can lead us into the more, the plans and purposes that he has in our life. But as I said before, we have a choice. Are we going to choose to follow him, or do we choose to keep doing things our own way?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.